Hey everybody, it's Blake.
And this is Drew.
And you're listening to Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke Controllers Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 108 of the podcast. We have, I'm going to call it a special episode for it. We got something where we're doing an episode for a particular reason. If you listened to the last episode, you know what and why we're doing it, but we'll get into that in just a moment. I want to power through the social media preamble, as we call it. You can find us on all the social media platforms just by searching the name of the podcast. We know it's a long name, but you know, it is what it is. There you can keep track of the comings and goings of the podcast. We like to post. I usually try to post when we're recording or when episodes come out or when we're going into our streaming, Twitch streaming that particular night or something like that, so that you always find out that way. We do want people to come to our Twitch streams with our cousin slash podcast editor, Brian, because we're having a lot of fun playing the games together, and we think we have a good time with it, and it's pretty entertaining for us, maybe entertaining for other people to come hang out with us. We are pretty much wrapping up Wolong. We beat the actual story and come to find out we're relatively close to getting all the achievements for the main game. So we're dragging Brian through that. Me and Blake are sort of semi-ex achievement hunters.
Semi-ex, yeah.
We still do it if we're as close as we are with Wolong. We're pretty freaking close. Especially for a game kind of with the difficulty as it was, it's kind of cool to get a 1K on a hard game. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that. We might have one or two more sittings with Wolong before we move on to, Borderlands 3, which I don't think we're going to like all that much because me and Blake are not big Borderlands fans, and I don't remember what Brian thinks about Borderlands. But
I think he's similar with
with it a little bit. We're hoping to have at least some fun. Maybe playing with three of us will be more fun than the actual game itself, if that makes any sense.
Maybe the company, not the game.
Yeah. Which we've had that a couple of times. Follow us on Twitch to get notified when we go live at twitch.tv/2smokingcontrollers. And lastly, we have both a store and a Patreon page. Both of those just support the cost of like maintaining the podcast, which mostly involves paying Devious for more art when we need it and stuff like that. And if we ever made enough money, obviously, we would pay Brian. Which I guess you've got to pay him even though he's family. So on the store, we have our logo pretty much slapped on everything you can think of. I did finally get the new stuff out with new Devious art for the 100th episode art. It's on some shirts and stuff like that. I ordered a mouse pad the other day because I wanted a new mouse. I have a really old mouse pad for my computer, so I ordered a mouse pad, and there's two size choices. And when it finally showed up, it was bigger than my laptop. So I'm not sure what to do with that. So I give it to Blake for right now to go for his work computer. But it's a larger than life mouse pad. Looks really cool. I got it in the co-op endeavors art on it, and I was like, it's really cool. It looks really nice. All that stuff looks a lot better in person than it does on the, like, if you go to the shop and you think the what do they call the little preview things look look crappy.
Yeah, preview display thumbnail.
The previews, they look kind of crappy. Believe me, the products look a lot. I'm not just trying to sell them. I'm just happy when I receive. Me and Blake both got shirts for the 100th episode art, and I got that mouse pad, and all the products look a lot better when you receive them in person.
Yeah, the preview.
It's pretty cool.
A little weak sauce.
If you do the Patreon, you get the unedited episode a week before the full episode comes out, if you want to see what it sounds like before Brian gets his hands on it. And you also will have available to you, if you ever want to do one of our silly names for our podcast episodes, me and Blake try to put... We just like long, dumb names for podcasts, and it's a joke that only works for me and Blake, and nobody else thinks it's funny. But if anybody else wants to be a part of that, you could easily just do it by being on our Patreon. Links to all this stuff can be found in the show notes, because we know the podcast name is long. If you don't want to type it, just click on any of the links and follow us on all the little social media stuff. And I'm going to stop talking for a while now as Blake gets into the game we're going to be talking about. We are talking about it, like I mentioned last episode, because our cousin did a playthrough of the game because I had requested it for his YouTube channel, so it's pretty fun to watch him play through that game. We'll talk about that more as we go through this, because we purposefully played opposite the character he played originally. Well, Blake didn't replay the game. I replayed it opposite the character that our cousin played. But anyway, I'll let Blake get to the game. It'll make more sense as he gets into that.
The game we're going to be talking about is Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Look how big that burger is. That is one big burger. That is a big man. That is a big beard. That is a big mouth. That is a big storm. Seriously, that is a big ass burger.
Sounds like my wife.
She's probably very big too.
Right, calm down, buddy. Calm down. Just, hey, you gotta stay strong.
Calm down, buddy.
Given the fear out there, right?
Yeah, well, you got that right. If you freeze up around these things, they'll sink to pieces.
Come on, just getting good.
That is a big rig. Drop a truck. Yeah.
I need some sleep.
Oh, shit.
It's a remake, right?
It's a remake, but I don't think they don't slap the remake name on any of it.
It's just Resident Evil 2 2019, I think, is what they're...
Kind of, but it just says Resident Evil 2.
So regardless of the semantics, the remake of Resident Evil 2 came out January 25th, 2019, which is almost exactly 21 years after the original release.
So that means they've put out Resident Evil 2 3 and 4 in the past couple of years. They've been cranking these bad boys out, these remakes.
Yeah, they have.
Like, my gosh.
So I have a little bit of info on the original. And then I'll get to our remake, just because the original definitely...
We might focus a bit more on the makers of this, because it's pretty interesting, because as listeners of the podcast know, we don't often cover AAA games, because we don't necessarily have any... The AAA games are talked to death, let's be honest. That's why kind of the somewhat small point of this podcast is to talk about more obscure games. We're talking about this game because of our cousin's YouTube videos, and we wanted to like...
And we did play it.
Cross-promote, and we did play the game, of course. We wanted to cross-promote and stuff like that. We do play AAA games, but we're not going to say anything
that you
revolutionary
heard
about Resident Evil 2 remake. So, but we're going to talk about the developers from back in the day, because if you don't know, and I'm not sure how much Daniel digs deep into developers and stuff like that, but there's some interesting stuff. I mean, big names in gaming have worked on Resident Evil, of course.
Resident Evil 2 remake, like I said, originally came out January 25th, 2019. And the OG came out, the original came out January 21st, 1998, which is kind of weird. It came out in the 21st in North America first, and then the 29th in Japan.
That's weird.
And then like a month or two later was PAL and so on and so forth. It's weird that it came
into
America first.
They've always seemed more like...
Based towards American audiences?
More a little bit, it seems like. They have some of the Japanese weirdness to them. But like they've always been more popular in the Western audiences, and they lead with the American voice acting first over any kind of thing else. I don't quote me. I'm trying to think. That might have been Final Fantasy 16, but somebody had talked about it. Might have been Resident Evil that there was no Japanese audio. Like 16 was presented in a European audio with all the acts, all that whatever was how it was supposed to look. I almost think Resident Evil might do the same thing. Like there's not technically a Japanese version because it's so grounded in Western, Western feel of it.
In a lot of cases, like I did here, when you look at their IMDb's to try to find the voice actors, it'll have like the base country's voice acting first, and this has all the English voice actors placed first. I don't see any Japanese voice actors. Everyone seems to be the American.
So it could be they could have done it with their Japanese subtitles, maybe because it just sounds better or looks better. I don't know. Who knows the thought behind it, but. I don't know. I want to with something like that, because I remember reading about that for
Final Fantasy 16, there would be no, there wasn't a Japanese audio, I think, or something. I could be wrong.
And for the remake, it came out on everything. It hit PS4, 5, Xbox One, Series X, Series S, Switch, Windows, and the Amazon Luna.
Yeah, probably the terrible cloud, Resident Evil 2 cloud edition for the Switch, because the Switch cannot handle this game.
Oh, gosh, no. God, no.
Graphics alone would set a Switch on fire.
The other cool thing is we don't really get to talk about like older stuff like this too much. Mm-hmm. Is for the original version, besides it coming out in January, there was another release November and for North America and August for Japan, and it was the DualShock version, because they had just put out DualShock controllers, and so they put out an enhanced version with DualShock accessibility, or I think that's the word, options.
Yeah, whatever.
And when it originally came out, it hit PlayStation first, then Windows, then Dreamcast, then the N64, and GameCube. It was the first Resident Evil game to hit GameCube.
I didn't know it was even on GameCube. Mm-hmm. I remember the really, really crappy the N64 version, because it couldn't handle it couldn't do the graphics like the PlayStation could. So it looked like especially bad. Like it was like that's like the worst, probably one of the worst versions. I didn't know it was ever on GameCube.
It's on GameCube. Yeah, it says it was the first Resident Evil they ever put out on GameCube. And talking about like old school stuff, is it took like how, I don't say epic, but how revolutionary Resident Evil, people know Resident Evil 2 more than they know Resident Evil 1 a lot of times.
Yeah, it's the hot one.
And so it took a team of 50 people, 21 months to make the original one.
I don't see very long.
No, not really. Especially back then too. And they've come a long way, especially if they put within a year, put out like 2, 3, and 4, like within years of one another. Because this is 2019. No,
it's funny, like all the best Resident Evils, I guess, are all even numbers. 2, 4, and 6.
Is 6? No, oh, yeah. No, six, it's not. Is, oh, six, 6 is
a joke.
Awful.
That's like a joke. Everybody hates 6. But 2 and 4 are the big ones.
And we haven't spoken about the... Ooh, okay, I'm not going to go into a deep dive on the company specifically, because we've spoken about them a couple of times, though not as in-depth as we're doing with our new format.
Yeah, Capcom's a big company.
Yeah, so I'm only going to target Resident Evil-like things. Mm-hmm. But it's Capcom, and we've mentioned them literally on episode 1 when we spoke about Monster Hunter World. We spoke about them on episode 11 when we spoke about Onimusha. We spoke about them on episode 54 when we did Monster Hunter Stories, and upcoming we did Monster Hunter
Rise,
and so we'll talk about them again, but more targeted towards Monster Hunter and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But Capcom has been around since May 30th, 1979. They're 44 years old. And their founder is Kenzo Sugimoto. And they're based out of...
Alive?
Yes. And his son, he's the CEO, president or whatever, and his son is the COO. And no, he's CEO. His son is COO and president.
Cool. It's cool that he's still around. That he's still alive and stuff.
And like I said, they're based out of Osaka, Japan. And as of 2023, the last time they reported to the Revenue Bureau or whatever, they had 3,332 employees.
Woo.
I bet they're really annoyed they didn't hire just one extra person. It'd been kind of cool to have 4 threes. But they are a multi-billion dollar company. Like, because it shows their revenue streams on some things. Like,
yeah. I think they've been hitting a stride ever since. It seems like they hit a slump in the late 360 PS3 era with a couple of things. It was some bad PR about some...
It was two...
Raccoon City.
And Raccoon stuff. City and Revelations. Revelation 1.
Revelation 1 did pretty well, I think. But the PR was Raccoon City.
Specifically,
they're like the first instance of being caught with DLC on a disc. Mm-hmm. People were real mad about it. Now it's like commonplace. Nobody talks about it anymore. Or the actually discs don't actually do anything besides hold a license. But they hit a stride. I feel like they hit a stride when Monster Hunter World came out. I think World came out, and then like Resident Evil 2, and then like they just started hitting this stride of just like incredible things that everybody started loving, and they just started
like
winning awards again. And like Capcom had they've had this big resurgence. Now they never went away, but this big resurgence, I feel like, started kind of around Monster Hunter World was huge.
I think it was fan expansion. People were like, "Oh my God, Capcom's like awesome again."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm assuming the new Street Fighter's done well. I don't know Street Fighter that well. I'm assuming it's
done. I think six has done well. I'm guessing. more than anything.
If all the Resident Evil, 11 the Resident Evils, 1, you know, 2, 3, and then 4 recently have all been like just like huge successes. And they're continuing. Said they got more remakes down the pipeline and stuff like that. There's a couple more Resident Evils. And we're fingers. I can't cross my fingers any harder than I can cross them for Onimusha. We talked about Onimusha early in the podcast, was just a port. Onimusha's very cool and very, very...
It deserves to be...
Could have had an Onimusha that looks like these modern Resident Evils look. It would be incredible.
Oh, yeah. And it don't have to be much, because the Onimushas aren't big.
Yeah, Onimusha 1's small. Like it's even seems like it's kind of developed by some of the Resident Evil team, I feel like.
I'll get to that here in a minute.
Okay, yeah but like, I'm really... Yeah. You know, and I'll play... If they do... I would think Code Veronica would be next. I'm guessing is if they do any remakes.
Resident Evil 0, yeah, Code, I think so.
Veronica would be next, I feel like. And then 5 and 6 don't necessarily need remakes. 5, I would play. 6, I wouldn't touch with the 10-foot pole. No. I've played 7. Nope, I've played 7. You haven't played it yet.
I haven't played 7 yet.
I played through 7, and 8, of course, is, you know, pretty well, very well received, honestly. But I haven't, just haven't got around to it yet. That's sort of my...
Yeah.
I've beat Resident Evil... I've beaten... 1 remake, 0 sort of... See, I don't know if 0's a remake or just a port. I've beat those two, and I've beaten Resident Evil 2 remake.
I've beaten 5, I think, with you.
Oh, 5, yeah, sorry. 5, and we quit 6.
Yeah, I beat 5 with you, and I've beaten 2, and that's it.
Yeah, and we'll play 3. 3 just hit Game Pass. You know, we're not a Game Pass podcast, but I did play... 2. No, my history with 2, Resident Evil 2 a remake was like we had it on Gamefly a long time ago, and I'd gotten like was getting wore out. I played on like I did this thing where I was like following a guide, and I was told me to play on normal instead of easy. And Blake's like, "Don't do that. You're not going to like it." I'm like, "I'm an adult," so I played on normal, and I was kind of getting annoyed, and things weren't dying, and it was just not having fun. I ended up putting it down, and Blake put on easy and played all the way through it and had a pretty decent time.
And told you that you were stupid.
Told me I was stupid anyway. But, you know, then eventually what happened is, however many years later, Daniel's videos come out, and I'm like, oh, I should probably play this again and give it a try. And right about then as it came on Game Pass, I was like, oh, how about that? They're just telling me to play it right now. So I downloaded that bad boy and ran through it again. We've gotten way off in the weeds now, but this is talking about Capcom and stuff like that. Kind of got me going on. My little bit of history with Resident Evil, that it's not very much. I played Resident Evil 5 the most. I've played through it with another friend back in the day. I've played through it with you. I've played through it with my, like, a couple hours with my wife. She doesn't like playing co-op games, so I don't really get to play
too much. She just doesn't like you, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't like me. Who knows? Resident Evil 5 remake, if it ever happens, me and Blake will be running through it again. And we won't touch 6.
And just real quick, I'm going to do some of the read off. People know Capcom, but I'm just going to read off some of their headliners. Mm-hmm. Just know so people know.
Big names.
We got Resident Evil, of course, the Resident Evil franchise, Monster Hunter franchise, Street Fighter, Devil May Cry, Marvel vs. Capcom.
Devil May Cry 5
mm-hmm.
was part of
the all
resurgence.
It was, yeah.
People love 5.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay.
It wasn't bad.
We're not Devil May Cry. Like when Devil May Cry came out, I was a teenager, the original, and it was like the coolest thing that ever happened in my life. So Dante was so cool.
And
now as an adult, I play Devil May Cry, and they're still doing kind of the same jokes and the same stuff and the same. It's all kind of the same. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Because Dante's an immortal teenager. I mean,
there's
no point.
It's not as cool now, but you should Devil May Cry. That reminds me, Devil May Cry 5 was part of the, like, people loved it, big success. Capcom's on a roll.
And then the last, but certainly not least, because he is the official mascot for Capcom, is Mega Man.
Is he the mascot?
It's when I looked into it, it says he's the official mascot for Capcom is Mega Man.
That's weird.
Because he's one of their longest running franchises.
But thank you. I would think he'd be more of a Street Fighter. I don't know. I feel like Street Fighter is bigger than Mega Man. I could be wrong, but I don't know based off sales.
But people know Street Fighter and Ryu and all that.
I guess everybody
them.
Needs a mascot. You need a Mario, you need a Sonic, you need a Mega Man, something kind of cute.
A burly man with a bandana, like, you know, Ryu, or versus a cute Mega Man. And I think they would shoot Mega Man to get more kids and stuff. And you got to think, Mega Man has Battle Network.
Way more games.
Toys, and it's a...
Yeah.
I mean, there's Street...
There's a lot more Mega Man games than there is Street Fighter games.
Exactly.
That's true. Like
Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
That's
we'll be talking about... I ain't going to put a time on it, but we are going to talk about the Mega Man Legends eventually. I've played, in the past couple of months, I sort of played, it's a whole other podcast, I sort of played through Mega Man Legends, most of it. I'm going to play through the semi sequel. Like
it's like the 1.5.
1.5. It's not really a sequel. It's part of the thing, you know, the Tron Bond game and the Mega Man Legends 2. We're going to try to play all through three of those. I might put them all on the same podcast.
Because they're all short enough.
More Capcom in our future. But that's probably the only Mega Man that I've really ever... I played some other Mega Mans when I was younger. Always been that thing where it's just too hard for me. But I stuck on to Mega Man Legends when I was a kid. Another game that had a 64 port.
Yes. We normally crack the...
Whoa.
Oh my God. I think I had a seizure just now.
Had a brain aneurysm.
Okay, guys. Okay, my brain's working again. Sorry. We usually joke about the a game engine, and it's like, oh, it's either
not a joke. There's two engines. It's not a joke when it's true. Yeah,
it's either going to be Unity or it's going to be Unreal.
Yeah.
Da da da. Here is not one of those, and this has like a whole cool little doodad. It's called the RE engine, and now RE. Does not stand for Resident Evil. RE stands for Reach for the Moon Engine.
Mm-hmm. Very annoying because it starts all their modern games now with RE Engine. Especially when you see it on the front of a Resident Evil game. You're like, oh, the Resident Evil Engine. That makes sense. They made a new engine to make Resident Evil look awesome.
Which is funny because it debuted with Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
It did?
Okay. That's where it debuted in.
Cool.
But it's the Reach engine or the Reach for the Moon engine. Even its symbol is a hand reaching towards a full moon.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a pretty cool little doodad thing.
So they can afford to have an in-house engine and the development cost of maintaining and upgrading an in-house engine. And it pays off for them because I keep saying it, as we'll say it before, all the games we've seen on this engine look awesome.
And it's the successor. Yeah, it's the successor of their former engine, the MT Framework. MT was short for a couple of different things. MT meant multi-thread, meta-tools, or multi-target.
That's much less interesting than Reach for the Moon.
Essentially put out with Dead Rising and Lost Planet. That's where they used that same engine all the way through.
It's two franchises. I wonder if they haven't come back.
I don't know, but I don't want to go out, down the whole rabbit hole of the... the MT framework, but the RE engine.
Yeah, very cool.
Reach for the Moon engine is being used, of course, right now pretty fluently. And they might have
even used it on Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I have a list of all the games they've used since 2017, since it came out. The games developed using specifically the engine are Biohazard, which is RE7, then Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, Resident Evil 3 Remake, Resident Evil Resistance.
I don't know what that is.
Which is it's a 2020 online survival game for Resident Evil 3. It lets you get like some DLC and bonus points and stuff like that.
Must be like a...
Because you don't have to play it, but it adds on.
It's like part of like 3, five or something, had mercenaries, or if it's like some offshoot of mercenaries.
It calls it an online component for Resident Evil 3.
Okay. I've heard nobody talk about it, so I might not have done that well.
Four survivors play against a mastermind and create traps and enemies and other hazards. So it's like a 5v1, but you're in like a death house.
That sounds cool as hell.
We'll look into it, yeah. It's not Capcom. It's developed by someone called Neobards. But they just used it so when you win, you unlock like in-game content for Resident Evil 3. Like costumes and weapon skins and stuff. Then you have Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection, Capcom Arcade Stadium, Monster Hunter Rise, Village, Capcom Arcade Stadium 2, Resident Evil Reverse. What's Reverse?
I've heard that name. I don't know what it is. Is that like the online component to Resident Evil 4?
Oh, it's what became a Village. Reverse is what it was called, and then it became turned into Village. It's weird.
Weird.
But
Reverse sounds cooler. Well, I take that back.
No.
Cooler was the wrong word.
Yeah.
Reverse sounds more like a weird thing they would use instead of Village.
Yeah. And it probably sounded dumb, so they switched it. But then there's RE4, Street Fighter 6, something called Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. It's a remaster.
Yeah, dude. Remember Clyde talked about on one of his early podcasts the original DS one that got re-released. They remade it with the RE engine. That's weird. I'm sure it looks just like the DS game, but just prettier. We talked about it.
It's been off the
podcast, but it's, you know, remember Clyde covered that way back in the day.
And then there is
the DS game is very expensive and hard to find, I think.
Then Exoprimal, which it was a candidate for us to play on.
We might still,
but Exoprimal is one of them. And then Apollo Justice, which is the Ace Attorney Law trilogy.
So they put everything. They're using the RE engine for everything.
It's any game, anything Capcom is developed on this engine now.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, why not? Yeah, if you have an in-house engine, you're not going to be paying fees to use another engine at that point.
But here are a couple of upcoming ones that I think you and I.
Is Dragon Dogma on it?
Dragon Dogma 2.
Okay.
It says released later this year.
March, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2025, there's Monster Hunter Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are still 1, 2, 3 games for to be announced.
It's got to be a Resident Evil, fingers crossed for an Onimusha, and I'll say another Devil May Cry. Those are my guesses.
You're wrong on all three accounts.
God dang it. Did they have them announced?
No.
Oh. You can't say I'm wrong.
Well, then they're not announced. So.
Yeah, but that's my guess to say the three things that are going to be announced.
Oh, well, what do you call it? The evidence of absence is not the absence of evidence? Or the absence of evidence
whatever,
is the evidence of absence?
Just what are your guesses but then?
These are Pragmata, Kinisetsu Gami, The Path of the Goddess, and unannounced Ace Attorney Project number 4.
But those aren't the three unannounced ones.
No, yeah, those are the three. They're TBA, to be announced.
Oh, I thought it was like TBA, like they didn't have names. They're just like three unannounced projects.
To be announced, like they've announced them, but they won't have a due date.
I still stand by. There's going to be other games.
There better be a freaking Onimusha.
I'll take a new one, but like, come on.
I want to give them the treatment because like maybe Onimusha is not as big as Resident Evil, but
what people don't know is what people might not know is there's licensing issues. Onimusha.
Oh, because of the faces. Yeah,
it uses a real guy's face, and then John Reno is in Onimusha 3. So
Gene Reno,
whatever, is in Onimusha 3. So there's licensing issues. I don't know if the actor's still alive.
I think so. The dude who's Samunosuke, okay, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And Jubei Yagyu in the second one.
Yeah, so you got to be like, got to relicense their faces.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess the games will.
It's not like
they won't sell Resident Evil numbers, but they'll be.
It's cool. Not like it shines a bad light on them, especially for like Gene Reno. And like it makes us badass demon slayers, man.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Zombie demon slayers. Why wouldn't you do that? But
yeah. Regardless, I should have copies of 2, 3, and 4 behind you on the shelf. Because I sold my copy of 1 when they re-put it back out.
I'm also going to talk. I'm going to tackle the director for Resident Evil 1 because this is the big name.
1 or 2.
Not one, but of the original Resident Evil 2.
Okay.
The OG. Now, the original director for Resident Evil 2 is a gentleman, you know, he's just a no-name guy nowadays, goes by the name Hideki Kamiya. For those who aren't going, what the deuce? Hideki Kamiya created Devil May Cry. Yeah. And and we talked about it way back when we talked about Onimusha, is there's an, it's like...
It's an old interview.
It's an old interview, but they were literally working next door. Onimusha and Devil May Cry were working literally across the hall from one another. And they would go back and forth
and play each other's games.
And play each other's games, say, hey, this needs some work. You know, they play test. And there was a glitch in Onimusha, which caused Samunosuke, the main character, to juggle enemies. Like,
in the area.
In the air. He was like, and you...
It wasn't supposed to happen. They were supposed to fall down.
Yeah. Because it's supposed to be... Fairly realistic is what they're
from demons.
But they were shooting for like a realistic combat. Like he's not superhuman. He's a normal samurai given superhuman abilities who get superhuman later. Mm-hmm. And Hideki Kamiya liked the glitch so much that he specifically redesigned the Devil May Cry combat to incorporate that glitch, juggling, and that became a staple in action games henceforth.
Yeah, all Devil May Cry's.
All action games now. Yeah. They have a juggling mechanic to help, you know, and that's where it came from. Like, that's like the, so you know, cool. It's crazy. But besides Devil May Cry, which is, if that's the only thing he'd done, that's amazing. But he's responsible for Devil May Cry, Okami, mm-hmm. Wonderful 101, Beautiful Joe, and Bayonetta.
Yeah.
And for those who's like, those names sound familiar, but those aren't Capcom. No, they're not. He worked with Capcom from 94 to 2006. That's a pretty, you know, what is that, 12 years?
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
And in 06, he decided to, he's like, hey, I like what y'all, I'm thankful for what y'all did, but the games you have me working on, I don't want to work on. I have this other genre that I prefer, which is the Devil May Cry action styles. And so he would go on to found Platinum Games.
He's Platinum's founder? One of the founders?
He founded Platinum Games in 2006. Founded.
I don't think I knew that.
Platinum.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know Platinum, it's...
We've talked about him before.
When we talked about a couple of things, like Vanish and
Vanquish.
Vanquish, yes, Advantage. Yeah.
Did we talk about Vanquish?
I'm pretty sure we did, with like the knee sliding and the slinging cigarettes at folk. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. They're weird.
Oh, yeah, it's a Japanese game developer. It's weird.
But it's platinum games. The end. And I think their star thing would be Bayonetta. That's Bayonetta, like, that's yeah, one
Bayonetta,
of their...
We're up to Bayonetta 3, and then there's some sort of weird prequel.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing, I guess the biggest scorch mark on their record or whatever isn't necessarily their fault, but there's a game that was supposed to come out, was completed, and
so,
then...
So they say.
Yeah, supposedly it was completed, but then canceled after the fact due to...
We don't know.
No reason. No one's ever announced reason as to why the game
was
canceled.
There's some backdoor reason we don't know about. They've been asked 1,000 times. They're just like, pretty much he'll say talk to Microsoft. Microsoft will say talk to him.
Yeah.
They kind of bounce it back and forth. Nobody will take the blame.
But he was director and lead story writer for the canceled Xbox game, Scalebound.
Which looked awesome.
Looked incredible. Looked phenomenal. Like, looked too ambitious for it to have come out. But every time I saw it, it looked amazing.
It was kind of like a Dark Souls, except you also had a dragon.
And you could co-op up to, I think, two other people,
yeah,
three
co-op,
people.
Yeah. Co-op, and everybody had a dragon.
And your dragon was customizable.
Yeah. So look up, if you somehow missed... Scalebound, and want to be sad that a game didn't come out, go look up Scalebound on YouTube. It looked incredible.
Yeah. And that's the guy who directed the original Resident Evil 2, Hideki Kamiya, who has become a massive staple in action-adventure games.
Yep.
Action combat, at the very least.
Yeah. He's the dude, man.
He is great, yeah.
To have a career like that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, now the two directors who are responsible for the RE2 remake aren't as impressive.
They're not Hideki Kamiya.
They're not Hideki Kamiya, but they are on their way to creating their own.
Could be some young fellas, I mean.
I'm sure they are. But the first gentleman is a Yasushiro Anpo, and he is responsible for... He was actually the original director for Resident Evil 5. So he was the original director for 5.
I think I like 5.
Yeah, he did all the DLC.
He's not a young guy.
No. Well, he's youngish compared to the other two. And he also did Revelations 2 and all the three or four, I think, like three DLCs that came out for an expansion.
I didn't play 2.
As well as he is also the director for Remake 2, Remake 3, and Remake 4.
Wow, he's getting...
They like his work.
I mean, yeah.
And if he did 4, imagine him getting to redo a better version of 5. They're like, hey, man, do what you did, but here's more money to do it better. Hmm.
Like the one thing they would change in 5 is being able to walk and aim.
Yes, that would happen.
I get the standing still to aim increases tension, which it does, but I bet they would take that out.
You
can walk and aim in 2 Remake.
Yeah, barely, but yeah.
You can move. You can step backwards. Yeah. It messes your aim up, but you can.
Yeah, so it's incorporate that. But admittedly, 5 was also their first step into something slightly more...
Well, 4 was full action.
Yeah, 4 was full action. That is true. But whatever, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know things. But that was Yasuhiro Anpo.
Busy fella.
He's still working. I didn't say anything about their upcoming, but their video game company seems to be a lot more secretive.
He's clearly working on another Resident Evil remake at this point.
Hopefully.
He's got 3 in the bag.
And then his partner is a Kazunori Kato, and he is also directed... He worked on Resident Evil 5, but then he also helped direct 2 and 4. As well as another one called Ghost Survivors, which is a DLC for the remake of 2. And it's a bunch of what-if scenarios revolving
over... In 2?
Yeah, it's called...
DLC for Resident Evil 2?
It's called Ghost Survivors.
I don't know.
Yeah, it follows like the mayor's daughter, a lone
stars?
Raccoon... No, not stars. A lone raccoon or umbrella soldier.
Okay.
And somebody else. I forget who it was. And it's just kind of like... It calls them what if scenarios, so they're probably not really important, but it's just like cool things of like, oh, what if like Leon dies in the opening and then this random raccoon soldier or umbrella soldier, so it might be worth looking into.
Yeah, I didn't even think to look at DLC for a remake.
They're just called Ghost Survivors.
Huh.
Okay, I misspoke. He actually did help co-direct RE5 and work on it, but he also worked on Outbreak, Code Veronica, the original Resident Evil 1, and Mega Man Legends.
Snap.
Yeah, well, speaking of Mega Man Legends, we spoke about earlier, he actually's one. It says he was game developer and core systems designer. So that's
I wish Mega Man Legends would get a remake. That'll never happen.
Nope.
Kenji Inafune burnt that bridge.
Bless his heart. And then the last thing I'm going to tackle is
we're 35 minutes and we have not talked about the game. No. I know, but it's fine.
Okay, and fun stuff. Just real quick, I do want to acknowledge that, like I said, we've spoken about the English voice acting and all that stuff, and I felt all the voice acting was great, but I'm not going to dive into to everybody. I'm just going to mention the two lead lines, which is Leon S. Kennedy, voiced by a gentleman named Nick Apostle Leeds. Besides being Leon S. Kennedy, he's also voiced Leon in like those the Netflix show Death Island and a bunch of these like the CGI shows and so movies. He's
like a modern Leon then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do it in 4?
Yes. He did it in 4. And then like some of the Netflix shows.
He's like modern day Leon.
Some smaller stuff is he was in Life is Strange 2 as a character Charles Erickson. And he was also in the Life is Strange Captain Awesome. So he was that kid's dad.
Okay.
So he's kind of,
drunk dad.
Mm-hmm. As well as he reprises his role unsuspectingly in Monster Hunter World. As Leon S. Kennedy appears in a...
Like an event or something?
Yeah, one of those like events he appears in.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, we didn't do none of those. I want to do those crossover events in World.
Like a behemoth and crap like that.
Yeah, there's a Final Fantasy crossover, but we had gotten away from World by then.
And our skills plummeted dramatically. And then...
Well, we never had skills.
We had more skills in World than we do in Rise. Gameplayed a little differently. And then our girl Claire Redfield is voiced by Stephanie Panicello. And both the cool thing about both of them is they're young and new to the industry. And both of them had under 50 things. So they're like getting started and they got something amazing to help launch their careers even further. So I wish them the best of luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got Resident Evil 4 and then I don't know who appears in Code Veronica. Do either one of them appear? I don't think either one of them. Do either one of them appear in 3? I don't know. I'm asking you like you know the Resident Evil franchise. I have no idea either. No,
the only thing I know about Resident Evil 3 is what Jill and Carlos.
Okay, so it's not them.
Now we're going to jump into the game, and I think you were want to take from there, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't really know how to do it, but so...
Just kind of a brief intro of what Resident Evil 2 is.
What it is? I mean, it's a survival horror game. What do you want from me here? I don't think I got nothing new to say about Resident Evil in general. So this game, I don't even know the original intro. So I already messaged Daniel about maybe now, since he did the remake, to do videos on the original... The OG Resident Evil 2, because I like to see that again. Because we watched him play through that when we were kids. We already talked about that in the other podcast. So I don't know if it had this original intro, but this game does start with a big dude with a big beard eating a big burger in a big rig.
In a big storm.
In a big storm. About to get in some big trouble.
As he plows into someone walking across the street.
Yeah. So...
That's how the game starts. A lot of bigness going on.
Yeah. So we played Blake. I don't remember as much because his most recent thing is watching Daniel's videos. He played. We both did. He did a Leon playthrough back when, and I decided to go ahead and do a Leon playthrough as well because I had just watched Daniel do the entire Claire playthrough, and I did not want to play it after watching it. If that makes any sense, which works out pretty well because there are. Not major differences, but you do kind of talk to different people. Like Claire never runs into Ada, and he never runs into the
Chief Brian,
and he never sees the little girl either.
Brian Irons or Brian Williams.
What's the little girl's name?
Sherry.
Sherry. So he never really sees Sherry. So that kind of diverts some of the stuff. I don't want to get into the timeline of this thing because there's lots of parts of this game where they should, if you see, like I watched his playthrough that I played where they should clearly be in the same place at the same time. I don't think they want you thinking too terribly hard about the timeline because you do go to a lot of the same places. But, I mean, right off, it's nothing new, obviously, that the game looks incredible.
The game's gorgeous.
Yeah, the new engine does all the heavy lifting. I imagine Resident Evil 3 looks even better, and then 4 probably is the engine really settles in. I bet 4 looks even better than them two do. 4 might even be closer to almost really using the Series X and PS5 power more than 2 and 3 would have been kind of maybe enhanced.
But 2 and 3 were like I said, were put out on the PS4 and the Xbox One, and then they were ported up.
Yeah. Which is just like a frame rate boost, probably.
But speaking of graphic quality and stuff like that, I've read some kind of behind-the-scenes things. They had to, because of the RE engine, they had to severely switch up some of the character models and stuff like that. Because due to limitations on the PS1, I think. Actually, I went PS2, it was PS1. They had like some polygon rates where Leon had these massive like football shoulder pads, like these pauldrons, like on his shoulders. And Claire had her big red jacket, and Ada had this voluptuous red dress and gown and stuff like that. And they're like, well, now that we have this better engine and we don't have as much restriction when it comes to like polygons and stuff like that, so we had to make Leon look different from other people. So when you saw him in a cutscene, you didn't actually, you know, shoot him or, you know, confuse him for an enemy. So they had intense character redesigns where like he looked human. They got rid of the pauldrons, and Ada was given a less elegant dress, but still like a red top and her trench coat and stuff like that. So they had to go through character designs to make them appear more realistic, especially given the situation that they're in. Because Leon's just coming back. I think he's coming into the city. He wouldn't be decked out in head-to-toe riot gear from the get-go.
Especially as a newbie.
As a newbie, yeah.
Yeah.
This is like his first week on the job as a...
I think it's like, if it's... I don't know about the original, but like two, it's like, it's his first day.
I think so, yeah.
In the remake, it's like his first day.
Good old Leon S. Kennedy.
Yeah, ship him some riot gear. Said ship him some riot gear to start his internet. Oh, yeah. So you're going to need it in this town, buddy.
Yeah. Welcome to Raccoon City, bitch. But yes, so like I said, like even in the Daniel's videos, he says there is some silliness with Leon.
There's silliness throughout Resident Evil.
Just in general, but...
All Resident Evil is, you know, there's always... That's the Japanese-y part of it. I don't want to say Japanese people are silly, but there's the...
It's a
cultural thing, but there's like this is the weird side of Resident Evil. Seems more like the Japanese side of things. I got no problem with it. I love the weird.
Oh yeah, I like some weird stuff occasionally.
We love Japanese stuff. We're not racist. We love them.
Yes, we love them.
We're what, man? We played all the Yakuza games, oh, yeah. And I was in a thing where I was playing the Yakuza games. We were watching a Japanese TV show. I went right back after Yakuza into another. Right now we're playing another Japanese game that has only Japanese audio. Mm. We just can't get away from it.
Yeah, for nerds out there, we're actually, because I bought them and never got around to watching them. Mm-hmm. I have like the original Ultraman series are re-released on Blu-ray and these awesome steelbooks. Mm-hmm. I bought them. And we didn't have time to watch them. And so now we've set time aside. We've been going through. We watched all of Ultra Q, which was the original. And we're working our way through the original Ultraman.
Yeah, like 1960s?
54 or 58 was for that one. And then the Ultraman came out that same year in the winter half.
Moral of the story is, we're not racist. We like Japanese people and their work.
Yes. But regardless, because basically the game starts... Our big rig friend comes and rear ends the hell out of the cop car. They
should die right there.
Yeah. They magically jump out of the car just in time.
Some sweet action.
Yeah. And so then you get to pick right there at the beginning.
You pick at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, that is true.
We'll talk about certain things. We're not going to go through the whole game, of course, because everybody's probably...
Because then you go through all the stupid puzzles and crap like that. Yeah. Okay.
I want to talk about how the game plays more than anything, because everybody knows about tank controls back in the day. I didn't really play much of the original, so I don't have too much knowledge of that. But how do you... You played a lot of Resident Evil 5, so you know how that one plays in comparison. Mm-hmm. I guess it's been years, but how do you feel about the way this one kind of controls and plays and the gunplay of it and stuff like that?
This still plays not like your standard third-person action shooter. It's not like I'm... You know, Gears of War and get through the Raccoon City police station and taking cover behind falling pillars.
It's not
a
cover shooter.
You know, or plowing through things. But I mean, it handles well. Like, even like just in general, though. Well, because does it do it? It did a fixed angle thing too, didn't it? No, the camera was constantly
behind you. Yeah. At some points, I think it would do certain stuff. I'm surprised they didn't do more of it. Honestly, mm-hmm. They would sometimes.
Yeah. But the fixed camera angles, I would still get caught on furniture and crap like that. But that's not the game. That's just like that particular style of camera. I don't remember having too much difficulty with moving around and maneuvering because, again, I played on easy and like, oh, zombie, headshot, headshot, headshot. And it's like, conserve your ammo. You don't have enough. I was like, not on easy, boy. I killed everything I came across so I could run back through.
Yeah, clean. Yeah.
The only problem is sometimes that still scared me because I know I killed everything in this hallway, and then
they place new ones in there.
Early on, I think you get they break through a window and you get to put up the barricades, and you can actually shoot them through the barricade to preserve your barricade for an even longer period of time.
I don't know if it's on hard difficulties, but none of my barricades broke when I was playing.
I don't think they do on easy.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it takes a long time. I was able to shoot them through the thing before they could break.
I just left them.
Just in case.
Just left them banging.
Zombies banging. That's weird. That exists. Rule 34.
The only thing I was missing, and obviously that comes into like Resident Evil 4 probably, is a little bit more getting out of the way. Like there's more like action stuff in like 4.
If a zombie were to like rear back and like go to swing at you, you're like, you have to like be able to anticipate that they're about to start swinging at you because
the zombies are slow, and I do definitely prefer slow zombies. But just having just a quick hop back. Now I know they wouldn't do it because it'll all be in four. Like,
or just a strafe, even just a hook,
just something. Or I had
shoulder dodge.
Even the 180 turn, which I forget I had.
He's like hit B or like hold down and hit B and he jumps.
Hit down B and you'll spin 180. I never used it.
Not once.
Because I forgot I had it the entire game. Maybe that would be helpful movement.
No.
But I also didn't like turning my back on. It's like something I'm trying to dodge. I don't like a licker or something. I didn't like to turn my back to it. So I guess that's part of the horror is like turn around, turn your back and something's chasing you. Kind of a thing.
The only time I did that was usually when I was running from the Tyrant, a.k.a. Mr. X, which I think he's just called the Tyrant. I don't think the game calls him Mr. X. I think that's
him anything.
I think that's an internet thing where people calling him Mr. X. I think that's just the fan-given name.
I'm not sure if it's Tyrant or one of them is.
Because he is a Tyrant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's like. I don't know if he's the G-Virus or whatever, but he's a Tyrant. That's the term that it comes into the Resident Evil lore, but I think the Mr. X is a fan given, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, he chases you for the majority of the game. He chases you for about half.
I was somewhat dreading it because I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
When it actually starts going, like you have enough, maybe you had less. I don't know if he's got to be in the original OG.
Yeah. Tyrant is.
You have plenty. Like the game's like even like the PlayStation even seems like some of the rooms, stuff like that, seem designed in a way to like give you the space to get around him.
Yeah.
Like you're never like really cornered by him.
I think except for in like a couple of special occasions, kind of it pulls that, I'm sure they started it, but for me, one of my first experiences was it with like playing Dead Space. Every time you make it to a save point, it's a safe area. Nothing's going to get you in the save room.
Mm-hmm.
And like one time in Dead Space do you like get attacked by something as like the save point opens up and you get attacked by one of the necromorphs.
Necromorphs, yeah.
They do that here too, where you're safe through the entire. If you're in a save room or a safe box room, Tyrant Mr. X won't get you except for like one time, like a big chase scene. You're like, oh cool, let me make it in here real quick and heal up. And he just busts through the. It's like one of the last times he chases you that leads to a big thing. Yeah. And it's just like one final scared. But also, I thought I was safe.
Like the main hub of the lobby of the police
station.
It's
so huge and
much big in there. But he also freely walks around in the lobby too.
Yeah,
he'll follow you into the lobby. You're not really safe there. We jumped like way ahead to the Tyrant there, but that's.
I mean, he gets introduced very quickly. Like after that,
so his introductions are very, very different. Like when I saw it. Like in Daniel's playthrough with Claire, he kind of just like lifts up a bookcase and he's like, I'm the Tyrant. So he doesn't say that.
Like,
he just kind of shows up and like starts chasing. He like in Leon's, he like, because the helicopter crash, he like pushes the helicopter out of the way and the flaming helicopter. I don't know if it's still on fire at that point.
I think it's, well, you just put it out.
Like that's like much scarier than him like picking up, because you like once or twice in the game, you've already like pushed a bookcase out of the way.
Well, not even that. I think your first time seeing him, As Leon, mind you, as Leon, it's you and Ada, and Ada's trying to help.
That's later. The first time is the helicopter.
I thought that was the first time because he breaks through and you don't even see it.
That's after.
Oh gosh, pretty
sure that's after.
I
could be wrong, but like,
let me clarify.
But anyway, the helicopter thing is way cooler than pushing a shelf out of the way.
Yeah, but let me clarify.
Did you get the shooting his hat off achievement? I did it right then.
I think I did.
I did it right then. I knew it was coming to like pop his hat off his head, which I thought it'd be fun to try. Actually, got it pretty quickly.
I'm not entirely sure. Oh, yeah. Hats off. Shoot Tyrant's hat off his head. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, okay, I want to clarify. Yes, I did just recently watch Daniel's playthrough. But for me, Leon, my last achievement that I got in the game, mm-hmm. is my playtime was over the course of 4 days. Was July 20th through July 24th of 2021. And I played 11 hours and 24 minutes. So I didn't refresh, so bear with me on that. And I'm going off Daniel's.
Your most recent thing is watching Daniel's video.
Yeah, watching Daniel's. And it's different. It's a passive experience. So I didn't absorb it as much watching. Yeah.
So I played it in July of 2021 as well, and then recently completed it in January 24th and 12 hours. And so I wonder if that's a combined time, 12 hours and 44 minutes.
That's probably combined for both.
Playing it back then and playing it again. Because I only played up to like the first, what's the doctor's name, the boss?
With Birkin? Dr. Birkin.
I only played up to Birkin originally.
Questionable. I don't think you find out he's Birkin until the end. Hmm. You find out he's Birkin.
We see it in some of the flashbacks, some of the videos.
Well, that, and you're with his wife as Leon, but you don't know anything about... Leon doesn't know anything about Sherry. Does not encounter Sherry at all.
At all. So let's keep on the tyrant stuff, because I know you want to talk about the puzzle garbage in a minute. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Cannot mention, like, there's a scientist guy you talk to in a jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, cool, we're going to, like, talk to this guy. He has something we need. We're going to go get it and bring it back to him. It's going to be whatever, video games. Until the tyrant busts his arm through the wall.
He's a news reporter, not a scientist. Well, he's our inside source.
Inside source, whatever. Inside but anyway, source. You don't think about it. But then the arm comes through the wall, grabs him by the head, and like as he moves through the wall, it's like arms like, it looks so cool. And arms amazing. Like, looks like breaking the wall, and he picks him up and like just squishes his head. I did not know that. That part was really cool. I did not know that was going to happen.
That was dope.
I wish that, the helicopter thing was cool, but I wish that was
that the should intro. Have been his, that's what I thought it was. That's yeah, the part
I think
I the
helicopter first. Comes first, because you're chased by him first right mm-hmm. there. You know, he doesn't chase you out of that, yeah. out of there, until maybe later. Maybe you see him later.
Well, I do know you come back later from that side, and you pick up an item in that jail cell.
Well, yeah, the card. Yeah. You come back.
You have to come back.
Because you still have to get the key to unlock the jail cell to get in there to get the key off the dude's body.
Yeah.
The whatever pass like, thing you need.
ID badge.
But, man, that part, I did not know that. It looked really cool, and it was just like, yeah. And I think the guy was kind of talking shit to a little bit.
He was bad-mouthing Umbrella and stuff like that.
That's fine.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm safe in here. You guys got to get me out of here. Well. Yeah, that was amazing.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then you do have a little buddy. What's his name?
Oh, the cop.
Detective Banks or something like that?
Yeah, Deputy Banks. Clearly spends his first half of the game dying.
And then does die. And then
he's like bleeding the whole time. Man, I know he pretty much once you're... It doesn't really say if he's bit or just dies from some other wound, I guess. Because it's like a side gut wound, kind of. If it's like a regular wound, you would think he would just like... You're not police station. Just patch that stuff up. And I'm like standing around the corner from him, just like shoving healing items into this box that I don't need.
Oh yeah, green herbs, blue herbs. Like, let me combine these red and green. And
you, so can I have one? Nah, you stay away from my healing.
I'm good. You're like, okay, man.
We'll stay out of my box.
Yeah,
I only got 15 of these. I ain't got none to spare.
But yeah, so you, yeah, that dude, I mean, he's helpful. He does help you, and he's a nice little intro where he rescues you, and then curb stomps a zombie's head with a... like an old school garage gate door.
Yeah. I forget what you call those things.
Bay doors with the...
So, I do like moving around the environment and like collecting items and finding gun upgrades. And so you can't do that. I like all that stuff. I like the map and, you know, going from place to place. But you can't do none of that without the puzzles.
And these...
It's just part of Resident Evil history, I guess.
They're just a staple. Like, they make sense, I guess, in... the first one, because you're going into that mansion, and the mansion's designed by some psycho and for, what is it, Umbrella. But then, it sort of also makes sense, too, because Umbrella helped build this town. Why wouldn't they have some stuff? But you're like, really? really, everything I'm going to has got this ridiculous puzzle where I got to take this square, put it into here, turn it, it pops open this triangle, then I take this triangle over here, opens up, gives me a key that's got a spade on it, and I go through all the card suits, spade, heart,
what is it? Well, he gets some and she gets some.
Yeah, so you go through all the different card suits.
What's annoying with them about that is...
club, spade, heart, and diamond?
Okay, I get trying to make their playthroughs different, but they tend to sometimes just go into a different door into the same room.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally all it is.
Yeah.
Or it's a door on the opposite side of the hall or something. Yeah. And you're just like, oh. And then you try to go out that door, like, there's doors locked from the other side. And he's like, oh, bollocks. But, and then as you go through all these things and get the heart key, and then you take it back to that square thing where you put the square in the wall, and then you put the heart key behind the triangle that popped out, and then you turn it, and you're given a coin, a goddess coin, but oh no, you got to get two more of those to go put in the statue to unlock a hidden elevator that takes you down to a sewer that then takes you back to the front door, and you're back in here.
Every game has a sewer.
Every game does have a sewer.
I played some racing games that didn't. It makes me sad. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I played some games, but there is...
Majority, like 85% of games have sewers.
Massive sewer part of this game, which has my most annoying enemy in the game to me.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some just the
more puzzle stuff.
More puzzle stuff?
If you want to. Or you had your puzzle spiel?
Probably the most...
I know you didn't like it. That's the only thing, when we talked about it off the pod, you're like, I don't understand this puzzle. So I was like, dude, it's just part of what the game is.
It's part of it. I get it. Yeah, but you'll have to like it. Without a guide, I probably wouldn't play Resident Evils with puzzle. I'll be honest.
Because you'd be running back and forth, like, I don't know what... You're supposed to, like... You have all your notes, like, the notes in the game notes and stuff on your map are supposed to be, like... You're supposed to, like, think about, like, oh, I remember that goes there. You're supposed to, like, remember all this. You're
supposed
crap.
To remember, or it's supposed to be, like, old-school game where you would write down on a piece of paper, be like, hey... Yeah.
That's how they expect it to be done.
Like, in the West Wing, there is a heart... Or, well, even on this, you can pull your map up. And the map was incredibly helpful and accurate. It was very detailed. And it would be like, this door, and it would black out the door and put whatever key was over it. So it was very, very helpful.
Yeah, you highlighted the items in the room and stuff like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Good map.
But without a guide, I wouldn't... Because I'd be like, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do I need this? Do I need this?
Yeah, my biggest thing would have been, like, and it helps a lot, is inventory management, which I've played lots of games recently. Like, I played, we'll talk about it eventually on the podcast, horror game, oh my god, Mind, Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
Inventory management was annoying in that game. It's entirely not too different from this game, honestly. It's about the same, almost same inventory.
But this one does get bigger as you go through the game.
This one does get lots and lots of upgrades, but, like, not sometimes knowing... Like, we did follow a guy because we're lazy. The guy would be like, put all this away, grab these two things, because this is where we're going. Grab these two things. You're going to need these two items to go do this. And then when you're done with it, you could toss
You could literally toss them
in. I did like the game check marks things that are worthless.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that.
I like the check mark. Without a guy, though, it's like, you wouldn't know what to do. It'd be like, get to a door. I have that item. It's in my box. Run back to your box. Come back and get it back. It'd be... tedious
carrying something for the entire game and not knowing you're done with it too.
Yeah, but it has a check mark or you've like
talking about your OG game too, you gotta think, but I doubt they'd have a check mark.
No, that's because they want you to like to memorize every, because it's Resident Evil's all about speed runs and stuff like that. They want you to exactly know where every item goes and the optimal path. We don't play any game like that. This is just for us to experience the game, the cuts, you know, the story.
Well, that's okay. I think as you're playing back through the whole part of the Resident Evil silliness that does come into effect is in subsequent playthroughs, because I remember specifically my first experience becoming with Resident Evil 5 is when you beat the game your first time, you get like unlimited ammo for your pistol, but then you beat the game a second time under a certain amount of time, because RE5 did probably my favorite version of speedrunning. Mm-hmm. Is
you play through certain parts. It saves your best time.
It just kept your best time. And if you got your best time under this, then eventually you get like unlimited explosive arrows, unlimited minigun, unlimited, you know, but you had to equip the bandana or whatever.
Metal Gear Solid?
I'm sorry. But, and so I imagine subsequent playthroughs of this, or even some DLCs where you would...
There's definitely got to be some sort of... There's infinite ammo on all the Resident Evils and eventually, stuff like that. Yeah, you just got to unlock it. I'm sure Daniel got the...
Platinum.
Platinum. So he has all the cool unlockables. I just don't care, like it enough to play it and play it.
Because we definitely enjoyed 5 more for us. Because it was like the more action stuff.
I guess. I like a horror game.
Yeah.
I wasn't really scared of this, though.
No. I mean, I still jump. Took me on the first time, like, you encounter a licker by surprise, or one of the zombie dogs comes busting over some kennels and you're not expecting it to, but you're like, I think someone's going to come through there, but I don't know. Or just in sometimes just zombies. Sometimes a random zombie standing up from somewhere, or like jump scares will get you.
Yeah, and you're a baby.
I am a big, fat, scaredy cat baby. I get terrified in my own home. But speaking of being terrified and in my own home.
What's this segue?
Well, okay. My first horror movie that I remember, and it's still my favorite horror movie of all time, is 1987's Clive Barker's Hellraiser. And I remember watching that movie in our old house, the old barn house. And Daniel played through RE2 like in a single night in that same house. So my first horror movie and my first horror video game were in the same house. We were close to the same age, around 6.
Yeah. Definitely a time when you shouldn't have seen either that movie or seen that game.
Probably not, no. Definitely not.
Considering the PlayStation 1 graphics and the graphic nature of that movie, the movie was much worse. At least the game didn't seem...
Yeah.
Probably still scary.
But I remember I remember him walking down a hallway and then like the zombie arms shoot through the doors and we're like, ah! And like cover my head with like a blanket or something and we're all just hunkered down in the kitchen. Or not in the kitchen, in the living room. Well, the kitchen was across from the living room. But yeah.
Anyway, very cool.
Yeah. I remember it.
Yep.
I remember things. I have a
So puzzles are resume puzzles are weird, and everybody's very familiar with them. It doesn't ever really change. It becomes less and less, I think, throughout the franchise's history.
But from the most tense puzzle is the one that I remember the most. Was also a kind of a time where I realized the game was slightly broken. Mm-hmm. You're in the library, and you have to pop a jack out from underneath one of these movable library walls.
Yeah. You know, so, do you remember when you did that, when you played 4 years ago?
What do you mean?
Do you remember when you played it at all?
But vaguely, yeah. That's like one of the more prominent memories.
I've watched Daniel do it first, and Tyrant's in there the whole time he's doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Me, remembering the video, I'm like, God, this part sucked. When I watched Daniel do this part, I go in there, he doesn't show up at all. I jack up all the bookcases and slide them over, and dude never even shows up.
I had to battle him in mine. Well, I had to battle other zombies. Also, lower difficulty. I'm sure there are more protected rooms. Like, I think puzzle rooms, you were protected from the tyrant in, like, lower difficulties, maybe.
No, because he's chased me through that room before. The library. He's chased me through the library before. He just didn't show up that time.
But he was in the library with me, because I remember that's when I realized that the AI for Tyrant is programmed specifically to no matter what to automatically calculate the shortest path to get to you. And I discovered it by accident when I was a part where he was literally on the other catwalker of the library and I was on one end on top of a staircase and he was standing still. And it's the first time I've ever seen him stand still, because I was standing still watching him trying to figure out which way I needed to go. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on? Is the game glitched? I was like, oh, cool. He's glitched. I can try to get this thing done. And I took a step left. He took a step left. Took a step right. He took a step right. We were perfectly equidistant.
Oh, really?
And he was trying to,
but the AI kind of was like,
it was frivolous because if I wasn't moving, it didn't know which way to go.
You found like a weird spot.
It was like it was really cool when I saw it.
Anybody ever talked about that before? How possible it is to ever find a moment like that?
Mm-hmm. But like he was just confused.
Or just AI.
The AI was
tricky. Like locked in this one spot that where it, like the math of the distance was like
perfect.
Huh.
In both directions. But then once I made my step, then he took that way. Then I took a step back, and he took broke the chain of events. But yeah, I thought that was like really cool. And then probably the scariest thing about that is in the library. Is you're like, okay, zombies don't climb stairs or climb ladders, so I climbed this ladder real quick. I was like, cool, you know, screw you, tyrant. I mean, I was gonna try and like hop across the things, wherever, and then he just goes, huh, and he just leaps
straight up
that ladder, and I squealed and ran.
So did you ever manage? So I don't remember when you're playing it, but when you're talking about during the tyrant chases, they're like, it's really easy sometimes if you get the timing right that If he's chasing you, just walk through a door, and then when he goes through a door, he's so big he has to duck down. Mm-hmm. Like if you run through the door as he's coming through, you can run kind of like past him through the door through his animation. That never worked for me.
No, I never even tried.
I tried it like three times.
I never
got slapped.
I'm pretty sure I tried once or twice. I was like, this is stupid. It's absolutely not working. And I just never did it.
Yeah. It was easier just to get it
working. I think I even told you. Like, he tells you to do something that never worked for me. I tried it like three times.
There's a thing in the sewers, too. I want to mention here in a second.
And it never worked for me. Not me either. Not once did it work.
Yeah.
You want to jump to the sewer?
I'll read tyrant stuff. Are we done with that? Because you don't end up, I don't think on Leon's side, you don't get to kill because the last boss is the...
I mean, you hit him with a bunch of stuff. You hit him with like a tree. You catch him on... Not a tree. You hit him with like a SWAT van. Ada hits him with a SWAT van, saving your life. And then...
Blows up the van.
And then he just kind of walks away, kind of like brushes it off.
You think he's dead and he comes back. Is he the last?
You fight him on... I think you fight him for Leon. It's been a minute, so bear with me.
Is it Super Mutant Berg at the very, very end, or is it Tyrant?
I think it's Super Mutant with Claire, and then Tyrant with Leon.
On the elevator going down with the rocket launcher, the last thing you do, that's Tyrant?
If I'm not mistaken.
I just did this like 2 weeks ago, and I can't remember.
Because one of the secret achievements is defeat Super Tyrant with 5+ minutes left until detonation.
You fight with a
Super Tyrant. He must have been jabbed with some T-virus or something.
Won't die or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's about the Tyrant. It's pretty cool. I mean, needless to say, the him chasing you stuff was nowhere near as annoying as I was expecting it to be. Like, it was like he comes down a hallway and you're like, oh, okay, let me dip in here real quick. Well, and he kind of would just wander off.
Yeah, kind of just doing his own thing.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest differences... Two and I was with Sherry and Claire, and they're running from them. There's a whole story moment where Tyrant finds you, he corners you, and there's no way out. Mm-hmm. And then enter something bigger, because there's always a bigger fish. Do you remember that?
No.
Well, Burke splits him in half. You don't remember that from the videos?
No, like Burke splits the Tyrant in half.
Yeah, like Sherry and Claire.
I've actually played the game more recently than I watched Daniel's videos.
Yeah, so in Daniel's videos and Claire's side, Claire and Sherry are like backed into a corner and they're like hiding in a closet. They're like, oh, maybe he won't find us because bad guys are stupid. And he opens the door and they're just standing there and he's just like. He's about to like kidnap him, and then
kidnap is a nice way of saying smashing Claire's face.
Yeah, and then blood spatter hits, I think Sherry, and you're like, oh crap, he just hurt Claire. And then the camera pans back to him, and Burke's claws are sticking like through his torso, and he just rips it sideways and tears out a huge chunk, like a shark bite chunk, of like his gut and torso, and just toss it. And then he just kind of his top half, because there's such a little bit, just folds that way, and his whole body falls that way. And then there's no more Tyrant.
I forget about that. That's cool.
It looked really cool. I love it. Yeah, it
looks cool.
Speaking of, because Daniel's really funny in his videos. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment, where was it exactly? I'm trying to remember. He was battling Burke, I believe. And so he was battling, I think it's the first time you fight Burke when he like pops you down. You have that little fog.
Pretty much the first fight.
The first
quote unquote boss.
Yeah. And the line that that Daniel says, because he's like groaning and growling at you and making all this noise, and he goes, "Come on, bud, I'm gonna give you something to moan about." and then he pulled out his like grenade launcher and sort of blasted him in the face, and it tickled me. It made me laugh so much. But that I remember struggling on that fight, even on easy.
I think that's where I stopped playing because my normal save was still there. Mm-hmm. And it like my saves for normal stopped. My last save was before that boss. I must have had a really hard time with that boss.
Even on easy was kind
of. Well, he's part of the first time where one of the only times really where you're in a really enclosed space. He's a little faster than a zombie, and he's like, it's hard to maneuver and get.
I mean, he has a gaping weakness, a gaping, flaring weakness.
His eyeball, yeah, but it's just hard to get. It's just, I don't know.
Even when you shoot,
he's probably the hardest thing. That fight, that, even fighting that, later, is easier.
Yeah, and when he's like bouncing on the, when he's on that massive platform elevator and he's chucking stuff at you, or he's whatever, jump.
What? But that little enclosed fight. I know enclosed is scary and stuff like that. That's probably the hardest. I think that's probably the hardest fight in the game. In the whole game, because even when you fight him later, it's more open.
You
can maneuver more and stuff like that. Even when you do fight him, there's that platform where you got to hit that. You're about to hit the crane and hitting the crane to knock him off.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that even that you have more room to like walk to maneuver and just get around him. I think this little fight down here is much harder.
Oh yeah. Now, the difference is we've talked about some of the differences because we played specifically with Leon and we had to deal with Ada. We didn't touch Sherry and Claire, but I know they exist. And having watched Daniel's videos, the solo playing as Sherry was relatively intense.
I remember it. She's hiding from that guy.
She's hiding from the, I guess he's, I think he's the sheriff of the,
sheriff or mayor?
No, he's the sheriff. I think he's like Sheriff Brian Irons or something like that. And that dude gets a bad run of it too. Cause he's trying to, he has like, you know, you go through a whole little rigmarole to get her key and to get the orphanage key to get out. And she like slaps him in the face with like some sulfuric acid in like a glass jar. Mm. And then he gets so angry. And then you go to escape. And then, like, the timelines with, like, Claire, because that's when Claire's getting out of the sewer to go there, but Leon gets out of the sewer and goes back to the
police station,
yeah.
Yeah.
Her thing was, like, hyper-intense at certain moments, because you have to, like, hide from after you bash him in the face with the acid, and you have to, like hold, and he's, like...
I remember in the video. Maneuvering around the room as he's searching for her.
And then, as, like, that ends, and you come across his, like, dead body, because Burke has ripped him in half, too. Because, spoiler alert, if you don't know, this giant G-virus-looking thing, massive arm, he's got, like, a little, like, he's mutating, massive, you've probably seen, like, the pictures, there's this massive eye on his shoulder, it's a dude named Burke, or Birkin, Dr. William Birkin, and you find out kind of quickly, like, you don't find out his name until the end, but you find out Sherry's name, and she's Sherry Birkin, and you're like... Oh, okay, that's a cute thing. And then you like, I think at one point she literally says, "Daddy, stop." Mm-hmm. And you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what?" And that's like this cool mystery for that you find out that creature that's been hunting you for a minute and tried to kill you is actually her father. And it's like it's a successful experiment that he was gunned down for, and the virus is put into his blood from when they gunned him down.
Well, they gunned him in the video. They gunned him down.
And then
because he's pulling something out of his pocket and they shoot him. Mm-hmm. And then he like jabs himself for like, he says something like, "Oh, you're going to regret it," or something like that. And he turns into a monster and rips him to pieces.
It's really cool footage, a camera, like,
yeah, like body cam.
Cinematography speaking, because it's like the body cam footage from the umbrella gun squad or whatever SWAT team.
Yeah.
And watching him get dismembered is pretty cool from the archive footage. I like that.
So the one part of the game that let's talk
about the sewer.
Yeah, I liked it okay. The gator, what's the gator stuff with Claire? I don't remember. You watched his videos recently.
I don't remember. You don't really deal with the gator, I don't think.
So you don't see the gator. You not see the gator at all in Claire? I don't remember.
Do you? Because I just watched the videos like a week ago. I don't think you deal with some stuff in this. But I don't think you fight the giant gator because you don't fight
it
because Sherry is sick. And you're doing a whole bunch of stuff with her mom, and you're going through... I don't think you actually fight the giant gator. Now, Leon fights a giant gator.
Well, it's sort of like a scripted...
Yeah, a scripted little event. But I swear, cool. Daniel, please message us if we're wrong. Anybody, I don't think you fight the gator with Claire.
It's barely a fight. It's a cool cinematic thing with Leon. The thing about the sewer is the only part of the game I really didn't like, and that's because of the freaking enemy down there. The one in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It was irritating. I could never get around him. Yeah. The guide was always like, "Hey,
hug the right corner.
Yeah, shoot it, and when it pops up, hug the right side." And every time I went to my right, which I guess is its left, it would just grab me anyway.
I shot him. I killed him dead, and then I walked past him.
I should have just killed. I had plenty of ammo. I should have just killed him. But it was like the only place that I didn't like being, because I didn't even mind. Later, there's like something that potentially should be scarier. There's these plant things later. That like if they grab you, it's instant death. I was never killed by one because I just lit them on fire with a flamethrower. So those are never trouble, and they're seem like they're pretty slow or really they barely move because I just lit them on fire. But those freaking things in the sewer, they're just too big, and they're just like they grab you, they poison you. It's so dumb. Yeah.
It's the only time the game does poison.
Yeah, it sucks. I didn't like that part. I didn't like you run through there two or three times. I'm just like, man, I hate these freaking things.
Yeah, it's much better on your subsequent ones because you just have to beeline to get. You're not fully exploring the area. You're just going back to grab something, go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mentioned playing as Sherry. So you watched the video. So you play as Ada on Leon's side. I wasn't going to get all the achievements in this game, but I said semi-retired achievement hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do two to play through Ada's. If you want two separate achievements, you gotta like, which actually is I don't know if I even got it because of where the other stuff is. So you are, I was in the game shooting those little raccoon dolls. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you get them all unless you play both sides.
You have to play both sides, yeah.
So didn't matter anyway, but I played through Ada's section twice. You got to play through Ada's section once and never shoot a gun because she has like a hacking tool that you can solve.
The EMF visualizer.
Yeah, you use that to hack your way through all of that and just avoid all the enemies. There's a small tyrant, like very short tyrant section. And then mostly you're just kind of hacking the machines and doing all kinds of stuff. And you can get through it without shooting your gun. So I did that and then like replayed her section, which is maybe an hour or so long. Played through it just to like pick up the two things that didn't matter was like pick up a letter collectible because I was collecting all the collectibles.
Yeah.
And to shoot the raccoon, not thinking about that I wasn't planning on playing Claire's side, which you have to play through for a couple of collectibles and a couple of raccoons.
I didn't collect. I clicked the first one, shoot one.
Yeah.
And then only if I saw them, I shot them. But I didn't.
Well, I did all throughout. I did all of the ones on Leon's side. So if I ever end up playing Claire's side, I'll have all the collectibles or whatever nonsense. So I did all that. But the other stuff was cool, I guess. It was like a little side thing. She has a gun and a pistol and a little hacking thing. It was just a... I don't think that stuff was in the OG. I don't think you did play as Ada in the OG. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, I think you do eventually.
Did you unlock an Ada section?
Maybe. Because I know in 4, you unlock an Ada section after you beat the game. And maybe you unlock something after you beat the game. Like, you beat it with Leon, you beat it with Claire, and then maybe you get to, like, da-da-da, play as Ada or something like that.
It's all right.
Again, I don't know. I don't know OG or Resident Evil 2 too much.
Yeah. So, what else is there?
I didn't much care for going through the Umbrella Labs. It was a really long, arduous process to make that poison and the plants and the get your flamethrower. And I was just like, I was ready for it to be. I was ready for it to be done before I got there. And then I got there and I was like, oh, I still have a lot more to do. And it was just so, like, it's like all the puzzles, but that one was overly tedious because you got to go all the way into this laboratory to get this, fix everything in this laboratory to get to this piece. And it's just like, this is taking so long.
Yeah, it gave me that long. But...
Yeah, like the whole game's, like I said, I beat my whole game in like 11 and a half hours.
Apparently you can run it in like 2.
Yeah, you can plow less. Through the game very quickly. I'm
sure the world records for it are ridiculous. But then,
those plant zombies were annoying, and you could only kill them if you had your flamethrower or napalm or whatever it was called. Because otherwise, they would stand back up. You had to kill them with fire.
I had plenty of fires. I don't know if it requires fire, but I had so much fire, it didn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, I did too.
The labs were definitely not as interesting as the police station. Getting around all the different rooms and the corridors and stuff like that. The police station is just more. It's just more.
It also doesn't help that it's so sterile and samey. Well,
it's a big lab. But
it's a big lab, yeah. So it's like, but at the same time, you also got to think, if you're thinking of the original game, they put all their work into the police station. And they're like, oh, now we have another section. They're like, cool, it's a laboratory. Let's just make it bland.
I doubt that was the
process. Budget saving. Like they wouldn't have had to have much because there's just like, make it a sterile environment, a lab environment. But, you know, the end is the labs and they're not my favorite. But you do, is it there? Or is it in this? Which one? I think in the sewers where you have to like go through like that field of liquors. It's not like a field of liquors, but you like walking through and it's like three or four of those dudes walking around in the water and you have to try to like sneak around them.
Are they in the water?
Are they in the water?
I think liquors are in the water.
It might be the plant thing because I mean, I thought there's like some big old. I remember there being a spot where you had to sneak around a bunch of like about 4 or 5 liquors. No. Oh, they weren't liquors. It was down in the labs because they weren't liquors, but they were the giant eyeball spiders.
Giant eyeball spiders.
Yeah. Unless I'm high.
It's freaking heck's an eyeball spider.
Yeah, they were in this, they're like G-virus induced liquors. Not liquors, but they're like G-virus. Oh my God, am I stupid?
I don't remember being an eyeball spiders.
Maybe I am stupid.
You're thinking of some other game.
I might be. Who knows? I smoke crack on a weekly basis. Obviously, the good news is there are giant G-virus spiders, but there doesn't seem to be any in 2, so who knows what I'm smoking. Anyway, but I swear, I might get mixed up with another game, but I remember that part being difficult, whether it was this game or not. That part was hard.
That part was so hard the other game, we brought it back in this game.
Other than that, do you have any kind of crowning moments? Like, my favorite was probably in the library with the tyrant, when that was probably like, I was like, whoa, what is this? And getting, you know, choked out by a liquor, I was kind of into it, but that's just personal preference.
I didn't have too much trouble with liquors, you don't have to deal with them a lot of the time. You can kind of move through the environments that they're
and
in.
We were playing on easy. So most of the time, if it was a liquor, it was just the one. We weren't dealing with like two or three.
Yeah. You kind of just move around them most of the time.
And if you have like a flashbang or something, which I didn't get the achievement for disorientating one, because most of the time I just ran past them. Because a lot of, you could run past the liquor and just, never bothered you. I'm trying to think. Of course, the Magnum, the Desert Eagle's always a blast from the past. And
yeah, but you really only like saved it and used it on one of the, I think it was one of the Burke fights. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't really tell how much damage you're really doing. I think it ends the fight rather rapidly.
A lot quicker.
A lot quicker, yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
And so the two Burke fights that I remember, there is the first one. And then there's that second one where he's like mutated even further. Which, I still think I had a harder time with that first one. He was more dangerous when you're on that big circle. Not the platform elevator that's going diagonal up with the crane, but that one where the mom runs away and she's like, he'll kill you. She's like, yeah, only one of us. She has like some tough speech. And you go in that little circle elevator that like lowers down for like the boss fight between you and him.
Yeah. That fight wasn't too bad.
No, you just run around and blast. By that point, you got the upgraded weapons in the desert. I think that's the one you used the Magnum, the Desert Eagle or whatever it was called. And you just blast him.
I think I used it on the section because I was trying to get the, again, not getting all the achievement, but get the achievement by hitting with the crane on the first try. Mm-hmm. So you had to like get him to drop the game was like get him to drop to his knees three times and then
then
hit the button. So I used I used the Desert Eagle there to get him to drop down quickly. And then I got that achievement for dropping him down.
I'm going to go check, see if I did too. But what else you got to talk about?
That's probably about it. Like, we're not massive Resident Evil fans, but I did enjoy it. Like I said, Resident Evil 3 remake just hit Game Pass.
Yeah, gotcha. Defeat Stage 2 G-Virus using the crane only once.
Okay, cool.
I got it too.
Yeah, so I'll probably end up, I don't know when we'll do it, but we'll end up playing 3 at some point. I don't know if Daniel will do. I know 2 is like the more popular one of all the Resident Evils, but maybe he'll do videos on 3 as well just to do it, I guess. Who knows? I don't know if he's going to. But I do it overall. I don't necessarily have a rating, like or a little joke rating for this. I kind of forgot about it.
Think of one real quick off the top of your head.
Think of the top of my head. I ain't got one off the top of my head. Did you get one written down?
But I can come up with, I've been thinking about this whole time because I forgot to write it down.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to write down little ratings that don't mean nothing. If you got a rating for it, Daniel, which I'm sure for you is like 10 out of 10 for whatever it's going to be, since you got the platinum, make sure you message us. Text us or message us on our Discord about what your rating is for Resident Evil 2 Remake. I know it like misses some stuff, has some like content, like it's weird, it has additional content
and it has cut content
which is very strange, because yeah. I heard Resident Evil 3 cuts out a whole section of the game for some reason. Mm-hmm. So clock tower section in 3 is like completely removed from the remake. They'd even bother doing it. So strange they would cut some stuff out but then add new stuff
and then make DLC that's a whole other stuff, like this has that the Ghost Survivors.
Yeah, so weird.
Come on, think about it. Give it a whirl.
Let's see, I'll give it 7 bouts with big trouble.
seven bouts with big trouble out of 10.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. For me.
Terrible on the spot.
You're all good. I'll give it.
Maybe 8. It's a good game.
It's a perfectly fine game. It's not my favorite genre of game.
Yeah.
Again, if I didn't have a guide, I'd have a much lower rating. But because I had a guide, I was able to speed through the whole thing in just 11 hours, like over the course of 4 days. I too will give it a.
It's hard, ain't it?
I'm gonna give it a 7 erotic asphyxiations from a liquor out of 10.
It's twice you've mentioned that.
I mean, we don't kink shame on this podcast.
That's true.
So yeah,
cool game.
It was a perfectly fine game. Yeah,
yeah.
I dug it. The game. I can't express how gorgeous the game is, though. We don't talk
graphics about the game. Graphics don't make the game, but dang, does the game look good?
It's beautiful, frankly.
Yeah, I bet 4 looks even better and. Whatever else they got coming out is going to be just going to be constant improvements.
Mm-hmm.
So, needless to say, we did all this episode. We wanted to play the game again. But two, go check out our cousin's YouTube channel. I'll have links to it in the show notes. It's just YouTube. I don't know how YouTube stuff works. YouTube/Zacovius, maybe. So you could, but there'll be a link to it in the show notes. I'll link directly to the Resident Evil videos, and then from there, just subscribe to him. He's putting out more.
He's got stuff a bunch soon. Of content. I think
does a bunch of content already, but he
has a really intense playthrough of on the NES at Jaws.
God, we're talking about Jaws. You know, we watched Jaws 4, The Revenge the other day, and that's where that game was based, because that's the end of the movies where I fell asleep because Jaws 4 kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Where they jab in the shark with the boat at the end of the NES game is like from that movie apparently.
Yeah. Jaws 4 sucks. It really
the
does.
The movie was terrible, yeah, but the game's incredible.
Yes, it's hyper intense. To some people, hyper realistic. It's got dynamic day night cycles. I'm sure.
Anyway, go check out his channel. He's got lots of stuff going there. He's got like so many videos already of all kinds of various games and different things he does. He apparently will take requests for certain things, because that was me who got him to play Resident Evil 2 Remake all the way through, because I wanted to see that. So, you know, get on there, give him a shout, tell him, you know, tell him we sent you. He'll be happy to hear that. Oh, check out his for our 100th episode, he played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The original one.
The original one. He tried playing with two turtles with two controllers.
At the same
and
time.
And he has it on his own camera with trying to do that mess. It's really funny. That's a fun thing to watch. It's not obviously doable by any means.
That's for him and us. I mean, y'all can enjoy it too if y'all want, but that was for him and us. Yeah. And we love every second of it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. As we do now, at the end of every episode, we do go ahead and announce the next game. In case we ever get any one of our listeners that are listening to this thing that want to write in and say something to us about the games we're talking about, we will going to tell you about the next game. We're going to do something way different. We're going to try to keep the games. We're not doing the same thing back to back. We ran into a thing where Resident Evil was kind of part of that as well. We're looking through our list of games we've been playing recently and beating, and we'll be on the podcast. And it's lots of really dark, sad games. Yes. We're just like, the dark, sad podcast. We just can't get away from it. Why is everything we play dark and sad? This next game is still pretty dark and sad sometimes, but it has some bright moments. But we wanted to talk about it. We followed this game. We'll talk about it on the podcast. We will talk about it on the podcast. I followed this game for a long time, more than Blake did. But eventually it finally did come out when we played it. But it is the indie RPG Edge of Eternity. It's an indie studio that went on to... Their goal was to make a game, an RPG that... pretty much looks like a AAA game, but they don't have the money for that. But what they're shooting for is like on an indie game with a AAA look to it, and like
AAA scale
in a way. And what you get is we'll talk about more on that podcast, is a pretty
ambitious effort,
ambitious game. But like it's finally nice to see somebody try to make something that ain't just another 16-bit SNES RPG. We got a billion of those. That's all anybody ever tries to make. These guys made a full 3D, kind of looks like
open world.
Kind of looks like a Final Fantasy, like big RPG. Very ambitious. We'll talk about the ins and outs of the results of that. Well, which overall, I like the game overall. Mm-hmm. We both beat it and stuff like that. There's just some weirdness to it and some corners that they cut that you could kind of have to, given your budgetary reasons and stuff like that, I'm sure. Edge of Eternity will be our next episode. Blake has kind of worked out a guest, I think, for episode 110. Another somebody we don't know, which we try to pull in somebody we don't know. We might try to play some games with them. It just depends on timing with other people.
I'm going to get his schedule figured out and try to play something with him next week. Or this weekend, even.
We'll try to get that figured out. We'll play them a couple of times. We won't really say who it is until the actual episode comes out. I got Blake on. Blake's on guest duty pretty much all the time. So we'll have another guest in episode 110. With that, I want to give thanks to Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use Letting Go for an intro to this podcast. I always say it's probably the best 30 seconds of the podcast, and people turn it off after that. I don't blame you, as long as you go follow Emerge on their social medias and the Spotify's and everywhere, and buy their CD and buy their merch and go see them. They've had a lot of really awesome shows recently, doing some opening for like really big bands. So it's been really been awesome for them. So if you're in the Tennessee, if you live in Tennessee or nearby Tennessee, you should go look them up and go to one of their shows and tell them, you know, Drew and Blake from Lockstock sent them your way. Mm-hmm. And they'll Jared will really love to hear that.
Kick out of that.
Yeah. I want to thank to Mladen Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel, for the art for this podcast, the brand new 100 episode art, and all the other art he's not given to us that we've got from him for the other podcast as well. And there's an interview, episode 70, I think you always say.
I think it was,
episode 70, Devious. We had Mladen come on and talk to us about video games and art and all that fun stuff. Really cool podcast. Really nice guy. We like him a lot. And always don't want to forget, thanks to Brian for editing the podcast. We put him through quite a doozy last episode. If you listened to the episode before this one,
Dredge.
The episode for Dredge. But when we finished recording the episode, the audio looked weird, and we realized that Blake's microphone had been off the entire time.
Yes.
And the options were give it to Brian.
And pray.
Or re-record it with less enthusiasm than you can on your second recording of talking about the same game.
Yeah, re-record a two-hour podcast, the very minimum.
Yeah. So thanks to Brian, apparently it's listable. If we put it out as it is, he somehow managed to pull Blake's audio up, because originally you could faintly hear Blake talking through my microphone. He managed to pull Blake's audio up a little bit. It messed with the sound a little bit, but it makes the podcast listable and kept us from having to re-record the whole thing.
You could hear Drew scratch his nose constantly every time he itches.
My heavy breathing.
Mm-hmm. That's because we're both fat and overweight, but that's besides the point.
But anyway, thanks, Brian. Good work on that. We
Donkashian.
We're pretty sure Blake's microphone's on this time.
I think so. I haven't got any red lights lately. It's going green, yellow, and then red.
God, don't mess with the audio like that.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's all I got. Come to our Twitch streams, twitch.tv/2SmokingController. We're wrapping up Woe Long, then we'll be jumping into Borderlands. We plan ahead a little bit after Borderlands. Who knows how long that takes. We're going to put Brian into another Dark Souls. We put Brian through his first Dark Souls. He dabbled, but like literally put him through a whole Dark Souls game with Dark Souls 3. We're dum-dums, so we're going to play through Dark Souls backwards with 3, 2, 1. Then we might do some Demon Souls and eventually Elden Ring. We're idiots, so we're playing it backwards. Me and Blake's done played them all except for Elden Ring anyway. So a couple of months we'll get back around. Like we get through Borderlands, we'll be doing Dark Souls 2. Scholar of the First Sin. So come follow us on there. Come hang out. We're just three idiots playing games, sometimes succeeding, sometimes not. And we just talk about other nerd stuff, shows, and other games. We all play a lot of video games, so it's a lot of video game talk. So some catch us on there.
And a little bit of self-promotion on my end. I have a brother podcast called Action, the Movie Podcast, with our good buddy Steve. He and I just take turns semi-surprising one another with a movie each episode. And we don't discuss it at all. No text message, no talking, no nothing, no IRL conversations, until we record. That way our opinions don't influence the others. And then also for me is I have a short story that I self-published on Amazon called They Come This Night. Please go, read that, review that, rate that for me, because I care a little bit more about that than I do about this. I enjoy it as one of my favorite things, because I finished it, I created it, I brought it into existence. There was nothing and I made it, so I feel pretty awesome about it. That about covers that for self-promotion. And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.